This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith and Bear with you. Rick Butler hanging out with us. And Matt Huckabee is back with the Top 5 at 5, brought to you today by Blue Water Climate Control. Hot outside. Call Blue Water Climate Control for all your air conditioning needs. Visit BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Matt.
Number one, the updated scoreboard. UVA beats Dallas Baptist 5-3 and will play the Vols in the first round of the College World Series on Sunday.
Tennessee and Virginia.
Bring it on, Cavaliers.
Cannot say that I'm familiar with Virginia's program. Don't know their coach. Don't know any players. Don't know any pitchers.
Did you not see that the interview?
I saw the interview.
That's the only guy I know. Kenny Powers.
Is he a player?
He's a pitcher.
They were interviewing some guy after their regional in South Carolina, and he's like, well, I wanted to win in 2 days, but then I thought if we stay another day, I get, like, an extra per diem or something. And then I thought I could get some more Dippin' Dots.
Oh, no.
Did he really?
I have a full story about those.
It was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, they gave him the Dippin' Dots.
It was a pretty funny video, yeah.
Kenny Powers.
Number two.
Oh, was it? Did Kenny Powers say that? Quoting something?
They asked him. You know, what do you think about all these comparisons, Kenny Powers? Oh. And he was like, "Dude throws 86 and has been out of the league, for a couple years now. No one else can do that, so that's pretty good."
Okay.
Number two, going back to the NBA, Kyrie Irving sprained ankle on a layup, and he's not going to play in the next game tonight. And now the Bucks, according to FanDuel, are favored to win the series.
Saw that, but they're favored to win the series, but the Nets are still favored to win the championship.
Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense, but that's gambling for you. I would imagine that will change as more money comes in on that. But, I mean, the Nets are by far the most unlikable. They've surpassed the Lakers in unlikability in an unlikable league.
By far.
As a Lakers fan, I will say that I don't think they have passed us.
Well, I think they have, but I still don't wish – that sucks that you don't want to see it decided by injury. But again, I mean, we keep talking about the Bucks, and it's like, dude, the waters have parted for you, Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is, if you can't walk through the door this year, then it's either never going to happen for you or it's never going to happen for you in Milwaukee.
Number three, EA has announced today that the cover athlete will be announced on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
The new Madden game. And the hint they gave today were two goats standing in a barn. What does that mean? Tom Brady's already been on the cover. Patrick Mahomes has already been on the cover.
Two goats?
Two goats.
What if it was actually just two farm goats?
In a barn. Is there a football stadium or some sort of football place of reverence that they refer to as a barn?
I don't
think
so.
Brady's going to be one of them, right? Because he just won the Super Bowl and he's still playing.
But Brady was on it 2 years ago? Two or three?
Did they do one last year?
Yeah, last year.
I think that according to Twitter, there's a little bit of scuttlebutt that there could be two players not even on the same team. They're saying a Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady cover.
Ah. Oh,
that would be dumb. We've already had both of those guys.
In the barn.
The barn has to have some significance, though.
Maybe they're just in the barn because they're goats. Maybe it's Brady and Peyton.
That'd be cool. Okay. Number four, Le'Veon Bell clears the air on Andy Reid comments. Earlier this week, he said he'd retire first before playing again for Andy Reid. And now he says, I said what I said, and I don't regret at all what I said. But I also have my right for how I feel about my personal problems with dude because of what he said to me.
Andy Reid's got a problem with who?
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell?
Yep.
Who's had a problem almost at every stop.
Everywhere he's been.
Yeah. But it's never his fault.
He's just not been relevant for a couple years now.
He's not an easy guy to get along with, apparently.
Don't you think if you're – that all might be true. If you're Andy Reid, you take the high road there. Like, why did Le'Veon Bell say something about him publicly that he felt compelled to respond to? Strange that
so
he would
weird.
Run his mouth about that, especially like things that are going on with his son and everything. I figured I would just want to stick to football
right
now if I were Andy Reid, but interesting.
And then lastly, the new NBA game show Ultimate Slip and Slide was shut down by explosive diarrhea. Up to 40 of the show members.
Wait.
What?
What are you doing, Huckaba?
This includes
the NBA game show.
NBC.
NBC game
yeah.
show.
What's it called?
Ultimate Slip and Slide.
Oh, God.
Shut down
that
by explosive diarrhea.
That'll
this includes crew members, cast members. Up to 40 of them got so sick they were being forced to run into porta potties.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
During
oh, no.
the, what is the show, like, shown live or something?
It was being recorded.
Did they have, I heard they may have had a Shiga, you gotta look it up for me. Shiga's some kind of parasite that causes explosive, horrifically painful diarrhea. Could you imagine having that thing inside you?
Oh, gross.
The parasite?
On a slip and slide.
Yeah.
In some sort of watery, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I was never a big slip and slide
be ahead of the stream if you can get out.
Russell, when does it end?
What?
This.
Diarrhea? I mean,
it never ends.
Now, you can die from it once it's run its course, I suppose. Once you get out of the slip and slide. Well, that's very good. Thank you, Matt Huckabuck.
Golly,
the top five.
The ones that echo in the toilet bowl,
on,
those kill me.
Don't be so immature.
Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Be gross, man. Top five at five, brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. You check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. It is hot in Knoxville. It is hot in Omaha. A high of 93 today in Omaha. Thankfully, we have Blue Water Climate Control to keep us cool all summer long and warm all winter long. Again, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com to schedule your appointment with East Tennessee's locally owned and operated, veteran-owned and operated HVAC experts. It's Blue Water Climate Control. Also call 865-299-2290. That's 299-2290 for Blue Water Climate Control. Vols headed back to Omaha. A victorious weekend for Tennessee fans, a wonderful weekend, and will we see a different Lindsey Nelson Stadium when we next reconvene there? And if so, what a way to send out the quote-unquote old Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I was reading an article from about 4 years ago in the Baton Rouge Advocate where they were talking about how much – because there's been this conversation about – can you make money in college baseball with your program?
Yeah.
And so I looked that up, and it's hard to do. LSU is one of the few programs, and this is from 4 years ago. I don't know how much this has changed, if at all. I would imagine that Tennessee did not make – I would imagine Tennessee lost quite a bit of money in baseball this year, as probably most teams did because of the attendance restrictions. But LSU is famously one of the few teams that is able to turn a profit consistently in college baseball. And here's the problem. We all agree that you got to show Tony Vitello the money, and you got to expand the stadium and everything. That's going to cost money. You're not going to be turning a profit in baseball anytime soon around here. But LSU in 2016 made $5.8 million of revenue and then spent $4.3 million for their baseball program for a $1.5 million profit. That was $1.5 million. It's a lot of money to you and me. It's not a lot of money to colleges with athletic budgets that regularly exceed $100 million. A&M made $1.6 million that year. 5 years ago, probably a lot has changed. But it's interesting. By the way, that year Tennessee lost more than $4 million in 2016 in college baseball. So I'd imagine the numbers aren't any better this year. What will they be in the future? It's the takeaway of this article, and this is theadvocate.com. Just Google, do college baseball teams make money? And this is a really interesting read, a long report that they made. Basically, where you make the money is from suites, which we don't have any of.
Right.
And then club seats, which we don't really have any of.
There's another revenue stream. If they don't mention that article, I don't know why they wouldn't. The recent deal with alcohol sales.
Yeah, well, I mean, alcohol wasn't – you couldn't sell it but 4 years ago. Yeah, I mean, that's big. That's big too. But remember in football they said that the profit they expected off the alcohol sales in football, it really wasn't that much.
I'm telling you, it wasn't last year because they couldn't –
Well, no, even the year before. I'll tell you, the suites and club seating – that's the only way you're going to make money off of college baseball. And it still might be a struggle. I mean, look, you're talking about 5,000 or 6,000 fans for these big games. It's going to be a struggle. But I do think that that's something they're going to have to address. And it gets back to the problem of those renderings that we saw is you haven't done anything with the press box. And we were watching the game at South Carolina Stadium, Virginia and Dallas Baptist were playing there. And Arkansas has this too, where they've got the press box. It's kind of like at Smoky Stadium where it goes all the way around the grandstand, right? And so you'll have a small area for radio and press, but then the rest of that are suites. And Rick, we got to go and sit up in the CNB, Citizens National Bank. Shout out their suite up there, Smoky Stadium. And how baller was that?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, we were living the luxury life, but it was really cool because, again, like what you were saying, it didn't even need that much space. I believe it was the ballpark that we were watching, and then Smoky's might add a little bit more. But there's only like two rows of seats or so, you know, so you don't need a ton for those suites. But like you're saying, this is so impactful to the overall financial revenue that the baseball team can bring in. And right now, Tennessee just has no ties to that.
So Arkansas's park has an SEC-leading 30 suites, and they go all the way around the grandstand, which stretches all the way down both left field and right field lines. They got 30 suites, which are priced from $11,000 to $23,000 per year. So you buy the suite. A suite behind home plate there would cost, it's probably gone up now, like $30,000, right? For the entire season. You just buy it for the whole season. And maybe one way on down the left or right field line would cost $11,000. So that's a way you could get some money. Then you have club seats, which can be much less expensive, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 for the whole season. You have some club seating areas, which are – it's not a box, but it's kind of roped off. Maybe you have a more comfortable seat, better drink holder. Maybe you have some amenities as far as you can go back in a special area with space and bathrooms and stuff like that. And then the other thing that's interesting is the porch out there. I mean, obviously, that's going to cost a little bit more money. That seems like a big hit. And you saw the artist renderings that Populous Architecture did for the double-decker porch that they proposed. I think they need to do that. Whatever else they do with the rest of the stadium, I think they need to make that double-decker porch because that looked awesome.
No, I'm totally with you there. And you've seen other places. Like, I think a Mississippi State might even have some of these kind of loft things out in there.
Yeah, they call it the lodge. Lodge seats.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I absolutely think you can do a lot more things with the outfield. You look at some of these stadiums, like even at Vanderbilt, and it just looks like people are having so much fun out there in that space. Obviously, getting to be down there this weekend, I did look a lot into where are areas that they can't expand. And you guys are right. I think, obviously, it is such limited spacing. But if you were to get rid of that road, boy, would that open up everything behind it. And you could really start to kind of move. Again, there's not a lot of things that you can just copy and paste in that little area. But I do think it at least gives you a lot more room to work with.
Seemed like a lot of people were having fun back there. A lot of people have fun before the game's over. Fraternity Park, that area back there.
Definitely.
And then what they were able to do with the block party right there between the stadium and the football practice fields was
okay. Never, so that was pretty never, cool set too. Up. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
How many people do you think were out there, Rick?
I don't know. If anybody saw it on Twitter, that'd probably be a better guess.
2,000.
I would say a couple thousand, yeah. Right? I didn't get to see a ton of it, and a lot of it was, man, people packed that place up quickly. I mean, you could hardly walk down the sidewalk just to go see all the people that were there, but it was pretty incredible. It was just
it
like
sounds like it was a complete
lawn chairs on lawn chairs.
Wild scene down there between, yeah. You know, Buster and whatever the hell was going on at the ticket office. With the dueling 911 calls.
There were not a lot of rules, it seemed like. It was kind of just a free-for-all. Everybody get ready, find your seat, find the area you need to be in, and get ready to make some noise.
Well, the suite/club seating would take care of a lot of the problem that we discussed last week as far as everybody was mad that the season ticket holders and bigwigs had the first crack at those tickets, right?
Yeah, but if they've got suites, they'll be up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Go ahead and get those suite, get their money, and they'll buy those suites, and those will be they'll go to some games. They'll sell those tickets. I would imagine it'd be fun to go to those games, but it'll be pricey on the black market. But go ahead and put those folks up there and have enough room down the lines, the grandstands on both sides of the field to pack as many of us ruffians as you possibly can in there.
I know you. You'll end up there in one of those suites.
Hey, man, I just want to be in there. If I'm up there amongst the beautiful people sipping champagne, then I guess that's what has to happen. Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Andy is next. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks.
Yeah, man, you bring up a good point. Like, we've said it, we embrace the villain part of this, you know. I think we need some sort of symbol, like a Joker, like a Tennessee Joker or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're the bad guy. Like, I want it clear. You know how we have, like, the Vol Navy? Well, baseball should have something like, you know, some sort of symbol. You know what I mean?
Like a skull and crossbones type thing. I've seen some people
embracing
an NWO.
The VWO. I just saw that as well. I love that.
Vol World Order?
Vol World Order. VWO.
Huh. Oh.
I can't. I might start scripting up some logos, see what we can do with that one. It's kind of cool. VWO.
Yeah. I saw some pictures and some screenshots of some TVs and stuff. And it sounded like the Drive Zone Rick Butler was in attendance.
No, he was styling and profiling.
Dude, you know that autograph line was long, right?
People come up and say, are you the Mr. Fabulous when you're out there?
Can I tell one story? We were walking on Saturday, just walking on Cumberland Avenue.
Here it comes.
And one car rolled up, and you know what? Somebody yelled out the window. They said, is that Fabulous? Is that Fabulous Rick Butler? And I was like, that's never going to happen to me again in my whole life. That's amazing. One time.
Tell the truth.
One time.
Was it your dad as he was rolling into town?
No, he
driving
was
to meet
next
you?
To me. No, he was next. I don't know. To this moment, I'm not exactly sure who it was.
I like this idea, Andy, about we need some sort of symbol, some sort of persona, some sort of theme to go along with the heel category that we're taking over. You know, Nebraska football back in the day had the black shirts. You had you had the bench mob during Bruce Pearl's era. We need something that the fans – can embrace and be a part of it, this theme that's developing, and perhaps even a nickname for Lindsey Nelson Stadium, I'm thinking. I don't know. There's a lot of things that you could play around with here.
Thunderdome.
I mean, we're the delinquents, you know. We're the refuge, the restless refuge. You know, I mean, we're
– How about the outsiders? I mean, that was the NWO. That was Kevin Nash's – Kevin Nash, a form of all that was his tag team with
Click.
Scott Hall. The outsiders.
Yeah.
Nobody wants us in their club.
That's a good one.
Vitello loved Kane, right? So, because of the mayor. And he wanted the mayor to throw out the first pitch that time, so they might work up something with that. You know? So, I don't know. But, yeah. So, I just think, was that atmosphere rocking down there, Rick? Was it everything it has been, you know?
It was more. It had to have been more than everything has been. I got to be honest, this was one of my first steps back into a live sporting environment. I'd been to one of the baseball games so far this season, but I really will say from the time that I started college as a freshman and through graduation, everything like that, there are a few times that I had seen that kind of camaraderie and just everybody being in unison on the same page with that much pure excitement. And again, the main thing is that you know this is not just a regular season win. This is not just a win against a rival. This was a defiant, stout SEC win in the Super Regionals, a sweep to go to the College World Series. I've never, never seen an environment like that while I had been here in Knoxville, besides maybe OU.
Sure. I mean, everything's on the line. Your pride's on the line. Were the LSU fans rowdy? Were they crazy too?
Dude, I mean, they were. Yeah, I mean, they were very loud consistently. They were making their chants heard from up top, and they did start to trail out a little bit there as the second game rolled on. But look, I'll be honest, I didn't notice anything bad from the LSU fans. They were annoying with their own chants and stuff. But hey, that's just baseball.
Yeah. Are you all thinking? Did you guys? Any of y'all watch Arkansas lose last night?
Yeah, I watched the end of the game.
Heavily, I gotta say, heavily mismanaged team. I'm a novice, man. I don't know, but it just looks like they rode Copps until his arm pretty much fell off, and could not back him up in any other way. I mean, am I reading that wrong?
It was an amazing performance by Kevin Copps yesterday, and as fun, you like seeing Arkansas get punched out. I don't think any Tennessee fan didn't enjoy that. But I did feel a little bit for him, man, because he's such a good player, and he seems like a good kid, and that was such an amazing performance. He pitched on Saturday, too. He pitched two innings on Saturday, and then they just went ahead and started him, and he threw 118 pitches. He takes it into the ninth inning and gives up a solo home run, an absolute moonshot to NC State's cleanup hitter, and then it was taken out immediately, and they end up losing the game. He probably deserved better than that, if we're being honest. But, yeah, I mean, that you see that in college baseball.
Why didn't they have somebody come in and pitch the ninth? Makes no sense.
He was cruising. Why would you? I mean, you have the best pitcher in college baseball, and he's been mowing people down for seven innings. I think he gave up those two runs early in the ball game, and he's just been – I mean, what happens if you take him out there and the reliever comes in and gets shelled?
That's true. That's true.
You have what Paul Maneri did Saturday, where Mikhail Hilliard is cruising through six, and they just take him out for some unknown reason. He only threw 76 pitches, and we immediately destroy their bullpen.
Hey,
stupid.
Their bullpen was rattled.
Do we have a poll question today?
What was our poll question?
It was the thing about the AC, the house temperature.
Oh yeah, we're gonna hold that. We're gonna hold on to that.
So we don't have one.
We don't have an official one, Tyler. We were asking earlier.
I was wanting to weigh in, so it's all good.
All right, man. We appreciate the phone call. Yeah,
Thanks, guys.
We spent most of the first hour talking about that Virginia game and who we wanted to see win.
Oh yeah, that was it.
The matchups.
So Russ, can you tell me what baseball thing happened today, June 14th, 1987?
June 14th, 1987.
And give you a hint.
Was it the Pine Tar game?
No, Mets versus Phillies.
Mets versus Phillies. Philly fans did something crazy.
There was a second spitter, Russ.
So this is the Seinfeldia? I'm Keith Hernandez. You know, Keith Hernandez wrote an autobiography, and it's called I'm Keith Hernandez.
Really?
Almost wanted to buy it just for that. That is one magic loogie.
There was a second spitter
on the gravelly road. 865-546-8200. Matt and Rick, who are younger and probably have not seen every episode of Seinfeld multiple times like you and I, have no idea what we're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, Seinfeld's always on TV.
We'll take that. It's our generation's Andy Griffith show, right?
Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
It's our generation's The Office.
Okay. I could see that.
I read an interesting tweet today about how The Office isn't as funny as their hardcore fans have made it out to be, and that's why the rest of us never want to watch it.
You know what? It's interesting.
The rest of us has to be such a small population.
Well, I have to step up and defend it in an interesting angle, too, because I felt the same way in the 90s about Seinfeld. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to like it just because there was so much hype around it. And then
it's one of the funniest shows ever.
Yeah, one of my buddies talked me into watching it. You have that buddy who's like opinion you respect, and he's like, no, man, it's really good. And it's like, okay, I'll watch it. And it's like, oh, you're right. This is absolutely hysterical. And it was the same thing for me with The Office. At first, I just didn't want to watch it. I just didn't like it. I didn't like all the hype and the marketing campaign around it. And then when my wife finally convinced me to watch, it's like, okay.
That's like that with
it's really funny.
With Thrones.
It's really good.
Because you all acted like complete dorks over it for so long. I was like, there's no way I can watch this. These guys are geeks.
Yeah, and then you watched it, and you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm a geek too because this show's awesome.
I think I've watched it more than all of you guys.
Hating ass bear. I'm not going to like this awesome thing because you like it. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Many people are saying that we should add The Office to the list of awesome things Bear hates.
I don't think it's that awesome, though.
Yeah, definitely.
It is
definitely.
Universally, right? It is.
Definitely.
Well, you wouldn't know if it's awesome because you haven't seen it yet. You just hate it because everybody else likes it.
I've tried watching it. I don't watch 30-minute television shows. And when you check out the commercials, they're more like 22 minutes.
I don't watch 30-minute television show.
It's a waste of time.
You just got through talking about how great Seinfeld
was.
Yeah,
it was the last 30-minute show I watched.
Is it good?
Yeah, but, I mean, don't even act like The Office can compare to Seinfeld.
It can.
No.
I'm here to tell you it can.
No.
It absolutely can. If we ran a poll right now, The Office would probably win. As far as what's the better show.
I actually think this might have been a direct competitor in the TV bracket off last summer.
Oh, God. Now they're coming after me on Twitter and my DMs. Yep.
You shouldn't have opened that
box.
They
want us to read the list now.
Challenges. A challenge you watched the first season.
What do you think? The Office, should it go on the list of awesome things that Bear hates? I mean,
no.
It's unanimous in here.
Yes,
both Rick and Huck saying yes. There it is, a new entry. What a way to start the week. All right, it is time. Here is the list of awesome things Bear hates. Everything is
awesome. I hate this song. Everything is cool when you're
part of a team. Everything I love this song.
Key lime pie, dry fit shirts, buffets, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas, screen doors, Field of Dreams, Pearl Jam, zoos, Olive Garden's breadsticks,
the garbage,
Halloween, Red Panda, McDonald's, Hoosiers, hot tubs, Van Morrison, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, cruises, Braveheart, Huey Lewis in the News, Spaceballs, Peter Gabriel, The Color Red, Trail Mix, Magic, Jelly Beans, Ben and Jerry's, Disney World, South Park, Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones.
Horrible song.
Mike Leach, Strawberries, Jumbotrons, Watermelon, Cinnamon Butter, Pineapple, and The Office. What's wrong with you?
March the beat of my own
drummer,
man.
What's wrong with you, dude?
That list is extensive.
That list is way too extensive. It's constantly growing. I mean, we all have bad tastes.
There's some stuff that's coming off of it.
We all have unpopular.
The Pine Barrens episode of Sopranos.
That came off.
I rewatched it.
Game of Thrones was on there many years ago. That came off. I mean, you do come around occasionally. You're not completely closed-minded.
There's some stuff on
but
there.
But you're pretty closed-minded.
So we literally had in the finals of the comedy region of the greatest TV show ever tournament, we had like 20,000, you know, 20,000 votes each by this point. The Office and Seinfeld were your two final contestants from that region. The Office won 68% to 32%.
Of course it did. What show were you on when you did this?
Get Blitzed.
Yeah.
What does that have to do?
Your listener base was younger. They don't remember.
We had like 300,000 votes. It's pretty impressive.
That's a lot of votes, man. It's a big sample size.
You're going to have to show me. You all had 300,000 votes on that one?
No, no, not on that one. On the whole tournament.
What was the percentage again?
68-32.
They said The Office was better than Seinfeld.
Correct.
I don't know if I'm going to better. I think they are both just
so if you had to pick for a greatest TV show of all tournament, decision would you go
with?
Well,
here's what's interesting about
it.
I feel like Seinfeld's funniest moments were funnier than The Office's funniest moments. But I feel like Seinfeld had some weaker seasons, particularly its first season or two. It was not very good. Nowhere near as good as when they hit their stride in like the middle seasons. So I feel like The Office was more consistently funny all the way through.
Genuinely, without having seen Seinfeld, that is exactly how I would have described The Office. The first season, a little bit of a slow start. Eventually, they picked it back up. I feel like The Office's funniest moments outweigh more of their continuous comedy. But it's funny. That's just the exact way I would have also described The Office from my point of view.
A mystery bidder has paid $28 million for a seat on Amazon founder Jeff Bezos's first crewed space flight by the billionaire's Blue Origin company. This made a lot of news last week. They have got this space flight that you can ride from Earth into space for, I believe, 11 minutes of actual space time is what they're saying.
Yeah, they're not actually going into space. Near space.
It's pretty damn close.
They're going like 60 miles up. It's like a parabolic arc that they launch them on.
Yeah.
It's microgravity.
And you kind of glide through. It's basically
the Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard, where you just go straight up and straight down.
It's kind of like a big curve.
Yeah, but you're not orbiting. You're going up and then back down.
They're just lobbing you out over the ocean about 60 miles up.
So Jeff Bezos says he's going to be on the first flight, the first like manned flight, which I think is pretty. That's pretty ballsy. I'll just say
it.
If it were me, it'd be like, no matter how much I want to go, it's like, all right, we'll let him work out the kinks, you know. We'll let him have a couple of test flights, which they probably already have done. But I guess they've bid out the places on the first flight, and a mystery bidder has put up $28 million.
For 11 minutes at like 300-something thousand feet up.
I mean, that's got to be like Bill Gates or somebody, right? I mean, it's got to be
No.
Well, it's got to be a billionaire.
Not necessarily. How much?
$28 million?
There's quite a few billionaires right now.
Well, yeah, but
I don't think there's any way Gates gets on Bezos's, you know, homemade rocket.
Are they not friends?
I don't know if they are or not. Most people have better sense in doing that. It seems like an easy way to get killed.
Yeah, but what a way to go.
What, strapped in next to that bald-headed
billionaire? Well, not who else is on the plane, but I mean, what you're doing. Not to every man truly lives. Shout out to Scotland falling today in their first appearance in the World Cup the Euros since who knows when. But they're back there. They're back, baby. Scotland,
back.
Do it for William Wallace. They fought like warrior poets.
Was that on the list?
Yes.
Okay, Braveheart, just making sure.
No. How do you hate Braveheart, dude? The greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, I watched it once. Chibs from Sons of Anarchy is in it. Other than that, I'm not a huge Mel Gibson fan.
But you're a fan of Kevin Costner. I feel like what's the difference there? I feel like there's
one doesn't go borderline disassociative psychotic after three beers and starts just ranting and raving.
Okay, well, I mean, like,
he's just not a good person.
If we're going to pick, yeah, but if that's the standard, I guarantee you have sports heroes and other movie stars and celebrities, musicians
one.
That you
Name
like
one.
Who are probably not good people.
Name one.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know.
Name
that.
One. You know who I like. Name
I,
one.
I don't know.
You
but,
can't do it.
Okay, I can't do
you
it.
You can't do it.
There's nobody that you like that's a despicable. Mike Tyson. You're a big Mike Tyson fan, right? You've said before.
I'm
you,
not,
you,
a, not a big
you,
Mike
you
Tyson
like,
fan.
You've said you love Mike Tyson. Oh, you've talked about your.
He was one of the greatest fighters ever.
Okay. Mel Gibson's performance in Braveheart is a great performance. It's a great movie. It doesn't mean you have to like him as a person. What's your name? That's all
Excellent
I'm saying.
Point.
Like, yeah, he's.
I love how you can't name one. Name one person I root for that's a horrible person outside of Mike Tyson.
I just did.
And I don't really root for Mike Tyson. I just know that he was a bad, bad man in boxing.
You like, we've talked about this, musicians. I mean, like, there are all kinds of rock and roll stars who are just,
like,
don't treat women well. Pete Townsend, David Bowie, drug addicts, Keith Richards, just really terrible behavior throughout their lives.
I feel like you're picking on Keith Richards for, you know, he's got an illness. He's had it for his entire life.
Okay, and I hope he gets over it. He's done probably
there's
done.
A, there's a big
he'd be
difference
the first to tell you that he's done a lot of bad things in his life. Brown Sugar is a great song, despite it being on the list that you like. Exile Main Street, one of the coolest albums of all time. I don't care that Mick Jagger was a bad husband to his wives or whatever. Right, I do care, but I'm not going to let that. That has nothing to do with whether or not the album's good.
Okay, all right. Marking the tape. I couldn't come up with one.
Well, no, I mean that it's awesome that you are so righteous that you don't like anything that was done by anybody that
no,
was a bad person.
It's not that I hate the movie. It's just once you've seen it once, you don't have to watch it again. It's one of those movies.
No.
Yeah.
That's just factually incorrect. It's one of the most rewatchable movies of all time.
Oh, it's horribly boring. Horribly boring.
Oh, just a terrible, terrible time.
I mean, it's no Tombstone.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Great period piece with lots of violence and an inspiring story.
And I watch bad movies intentionally. I told you before the show, I watched Lifeguard last night.
Yeah, you're really defending your position well.
I strongly urge people to watch that movie and just to marvel in awe at how insane that you there's no way you could make that movie with that dialogue these days, guys.
Quick timeout. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next. Speak your piece, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to jump in. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive.
People are digging on the VWO, particularly with the Outsiders theme. Volstorm is calling for that one. The Kevin Nash tie, people seem to like that. Rick's going to play with some logos. He's got mad Photoshop skills.
Oh, yeah.
Patriot Paul says, was listening to your show today. I can explain why it only rained on Lindsey Nelson Saturday night. It was the voodoo curse of Rohan Davey being washed away.
Rohan Davey's mama.
Fantastic. Sean, the Dolphins fan, is with you. He doesn't like The Office either, Barry. So you and Sean can...
It's garbage.
Be over there. You can go to the Skinner show and tell him why they suck. And then bond over your mutual disdain of The Office.
That's not the Skinner. They might as well call that Freebird, a Skinner tribute band.
James says, the reading of the list will always be the highlight of the week. Holidays and Hoosiers still blow my mind.
Hoosiers sucks, and it's not all holidays. It's just Thanksgiving dinner.
And Christmas.
And Christmas.
So Thanksgiving is different from Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I have to go back and confirm this via the tape, but Vitello for President says, I feel like Bear is on record as loving
I
the Cosby Show.
No.
You loved the Cosby Everybody loved the Cosby Show.
No, they didn't.
Everybody loved the Cosby Show in the 1980s. Don't lie. Everybody loved Malcolm Warner and... The little girl.
Much before we found out that Bill Cosby was roofing
yes.
every
okay.
female
hey.
In sight.
Everybody loved it. We all feel awkward about it now. The show's still funny. The fact that Bill Cosby is a despicable, lecherous human being doesn't mean that you didn't laugh in the 1980s at the Cosby Show.
I didn't watch. You got to keep in mind, man. I was hearing you tell. I wasn't watching a whole
okay,
lot
you,
of like.
You were too cool for the Cosby
no.
Show. I get it.
God, you're an idiot. I mean, you're just a total jackass. Trey thought I was talking about Lifeguard with Kristen Bell. No, bro.
What's that?
I have no idea. I'm talking about 1976 Lifeguard with Kathleen Quinlan, Ann Archer,
I don't know what either of these are.
Parker yeah. Stevenson, and that guy with the gravel voice from I always get him mixed up. Sam Elliott and Sam – yeah, Sam Elliott. I always get him and Sam Shepard mixed up.
The dude.
Yeah.
Taking it easy for all the rest of us. Don't worry, Ellie. I still got one good arm to hold you with.
You want to talk about it? I've watched that movie like 100 times. That's incredible. So many good lines in that movie.
I saw a shout out to former Drive co-host Richie D. Had a great tweet when somebody was talking about
what was
one of the LSU pitchers. I believe it's Coleman. After we lit him up, he's coming off the field and the fans were giving him the business, and he flipped us. He flipped off the fans, and Richie D. had the gif of Doc Holliday saying very cosmopolitan. Jamie, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Are you going to do anything or just stand there and bleed?
I said throw down, boy.
Skin that smoke wagon.
Good stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of good quotes in that one, Bear. Speaking of Bear, why aren't they making the on-air talent answer the phone, bro? What's going on, man?
I've done it.
It's how we done it for years.
Yeah.
I thought there was a time when I used to talk to interns and producers. And
yeah. Russ, what did you say? I'm the guy that gets promoted to the board of directors and is pissed that they won't let me clean the bathrooms anymore.
You could still have the mop. He's Stanley Spadowski in the Weird Al classic UHF circa 1989. Look it up, kids.
Guys, since there's nothing new on the UT sports lately, I'll talk about the Seinfeld show. And by the way, The Office, the British version with Ricky Gervais that came out first is 10 times funnier than the U.S.
Is it? I've never gone down that rabbit hole, but I would imagine it's pretty good. I've heard it's even cringier, which is hard to imagine.
Yeah. He does Michael Scott 50 times better than Michael Scott. I mean, you talk about crazy. So you talk about Seinfeld, you know, Russ, what you talk about great moments in it. My favorite was the where Kramer's golfing out into the ocean, and of course George is this girl. But he's the marine biologist. Yeah. He has to go out there to save that whale.
Oh yeah, the golf ball got in its blowhole.
Yeah, the finger is
there. I was
angry that
face
day.
To face with the great beast.
The seas were angry that day, my friend.
Like an old man sending back soup at a deli.
Oh, goodness. Good stuff. Good reminiscing right there. But like I said, not a lot going on with UT. Man, I tell you what, man, we deserve to get the setback and not bite our fingernails yesterday. Man, that was something else. I couldn't tell. You know, maybe just like when we beat Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. I don't know. That didn't mean as much. I'm just trying to think of a game that meant as much that we just, you know, sat back and just kick ass and, you know, the ninth inning, not even sweating it. Guys, can y'all think of any bigger moment, you know, football, basketball? Maybe we'd blown Kentucky out, you know, but I don't know if it was for anything. But
no. That was a unique experience, and I mean, it's hey, man, soak it up. It's been a long time coming. It was pretty cool.
We deserve it. We deserve it for sure. You know, at some point, I was thinking about all the dingers we were in. I was like, my God, man, he's had enough. Oh, my goodness. But I tell you, I was hoping – I hated for those poor pitchers. We were just lighting up. But every time they show that LSU coach over there crying and wiping his brow, and I was just like, yes, you little crybaby, that's what you did for
– good catch there, Jamie.
Yeah, I just – I just couldn't believe. I was like, good, that's what you get. Run your mouth again. But anyway, yeah, that was it was fun yesterday. I guess we don't get no Dallas Baptist U. So any idea what time we play, gentlemen? Or do they wait to announce that, or how's that go?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine as soon as the game is over tonight between Notre Dame and Mississippi State that they would have a full bracket and schedule done pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the way this works. So, you know, it's like some other big-time schools got to play some smaller, you know, some lesser-known schools to get out of their super regional. And here we are, the number three overall seed, having to play LSU. I know they didn't have an LSU-type season, but – you know, an SEC conference team, you know, not having that great a record really isn't that indicative because you're playing, you know, the 15 greatest teams in the country, you know, 14 teams in the league. So you're playing about 10 of the top 15 ranked teams in the country every time you step on the field in the Southeastern Conference. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll bother to put Tennessee's games on ESPN or something this time around.
Trey Wallace says Sunday's game will be at either 1 or 6 p.m.
I thought it was – I'd heard 2 or 7.
Was this a Central Time discrepancy?
Might be.
Yeah, maybe 2 or 7 Eastern time.
Good. We might get to go to church and pray a little bit before. Guys, I was talking to a guy the other day at work, and we were talking about the Omaha Stadium. I was like, I don't know anything about it, man. It's been so long since we've been there. But he said it's just not as homer friendly. And I know we have some home run hitters, but we've also just got some hitters. So I just, you know, I don't expect that to be an issue. I think every team that's in it has, you know, you got to have some power to be this far. I don't think, you know, I don't think slap hitting teams are dominating the field. I could be wrong, but I think Chad Dallas and Blade and Sewell, I think we've got some very comparable pitch, you know, some competent pitching. I'm looking forward to it, guys. We deserve it, man. I'll leave it at that. I'm just trying to shake the demons of everything else we go through and see if we can't actually, you know, finish on the top of something, man. But good talking to y'all, dude. I haven't get to talk to y'all in a long time, so try to get in when I can. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Good to hear from you. Jamie in a rare good mood.
Yeah.
Not taking a shot at anybody today. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's certain things about Lindsey Nelson that make it a hitter's park, though.
Do you buy like the thin air, the air flows out or so? Do you buy? So I feel like sometimes it's okay. The fence is a little bit short.
I think the fence is a little bit short. I think there's truth in what Burke says. When it warms up,
what does that mean? When it warms up, the more home runs when it warms up.
Because I suspect, and we'll have to ask him when he's back on. When it gets warm, the wind starts blowing out towards the river.
Mm. As I would think, and this is just my dumbass moron physics, like hotter, the air is more humid and thus more thick or dense.
It's more dense.
It's harder to travel through. There's more moisture in the air.
I always was under the impression maybe that like the ball died in the cold. Is that not how it works?
I don't really know, to be honest.
The cliches, like you're about to say.
Bear, do you like Johnny Cash? You like Johnny Cash's music?
Yeah.
Had issues with women, fighting, drinking, drugs.
That's never.
No?
Drugs, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
You didn't have issues with women? You know, it wouldn't surprise you to learn that Johnny Cash had raised his hand to a woman.
Yeah,
or
would.
Maybe had a racist opinion in his past?
Yeah, it would.
How about Chuck Berry? You like Chuck Berry?
Not since I found out that he's like old school version of R. Kelly.
So like
he likes to pee on you.
You can't like Johnny B. Goode anymore.
Is this like the Michael Jackson debate? I feel like that's the biggest.
Elvis?
Can you listen to Thriller?
Frank Sinatra? You don't like any of these people?
Yeah, I can take him or leave him.
Well,
that means he likes them.
Very consistent. Bear has no patience for the unvirtuous. Let it be noted. All right, folks.
You're not going to trap me, Russ.
No, you trap yourself. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just pointing out your hypocrisy.
I can tell that you're reading something off your computer. Who's sending you all that stuff, Russ? Your twidiots.
The people who listen to this show and love to own you every single day.
Which could honestly be your immediate family. I know I'm not real popular over there.
They've already made the VWO shirts. Chad Fields is all over it.
I know. And they look so stupid good. Might have to give me one.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome indeed. All right. Big thanks to Matt Huckaba. His drive debut today, I feel, went very, very well. He'll be back with us tomorrow. He's actually going to hang out and be on overtime. You want to hear more Huck?
Ooh.
That's coming up next from 6 until 8.
Huckamania.
Thank you, Rick Butler, for all your hard work. Thank you, Bear. I'm Russell. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. We're headed to Omaha. Overtime coming up next, 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.